for those of you staying in here, invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 35, that amazing psalm we just heard Laura read so well to us. Psalm 35, as we continue this week and next in our summer in the Psalms. Beginning in September, we'll pick back up in the Gospel according to John chapter 11, but we have two psalms to journey through before we get there. So today we find ourselves in Psalm 35, a psalm of David, as we just heard, a psalm of deep lament. And what David is lamenting in this psalm, obviously in his own circumstances, in his own time, his own story, his own life, his own reality, is something that we also often, if we're honest, find ourselves lamenting in our own circumstances, in our own story, in our own life, that we live as believers under assault. We live as believers under assault. It's not all just wonderful all the time. It's not all sunny all the time. Things are not always easy. Suffering comes. Heartache comes. Attack comes. Sickness comes. We live as believers constantly under assault. Assault from the world, from evil, from wickedness, from sin, by the flesh, by our own flesh, by darkness. We believe and we grieve. Both and are true. We are held by God and we are pummeled by evil. We are sheep of God's pasture and we're hunted by wolves. Everyone in this room this morning knows this reality. And the Psalms, like Psalm 35, open before us today, the Psalms teach us over and over again how to pray living in that reality and what to know, what we can cling to living in that reality of always being under assault. So Psalm 35 is one psalm that helps us do that, live and pray and believe in the reality of being under assault. And it does it basically by containing within itself three prayers. And so before we dive in, let's just get our bearings real quickly here as we have this long psalm open in front of us. Verses 1 through 10 are essentially prayer number one. David is under assault and he pleads to God for help. And then by verse 10, he pledges to God his praise. And he sort of comes to a crescendo there. Then verses 11 through 18 are prayer number two. David is under assault. David pleads to God for help. And then by verses 17 and 18, he pledges to God his praise. Crescendo there. And then another prayer, prayer number three, verses 19 through 28. David is under assault. And he pleads to God for help. And by the end, he pledges to God his praise. Notice a theme here. There is a theme here. A theme of desperation. A theme that God, things in my life are a mess. God, help. God, you're the only one who can help. God, please help. God, here's what's going on. And God, I will praise you. David pours his heart out to God. Over and over and over again, whether it's David or other psalmists who helped compose the Psalms, it teaches us that a strong Christian doesn't just bottle it all up. A strong Christian doesn't just keep it to himself or herself. A strong Christian is a weak Christian who in his or her weakness lays their heart out before the Lord. Pours their heart out to the Lord, and David does that in verse 35. It is in David's weakness this morning, in David's utter weakness, that God's power is displayed, that God's power is on display. And that's what we're going to focus on this morning, is not so much what we learn about David through this psalm, but much more what we learn about God in this psalm. Psalm 35 is a message from David to God, praise God, but much more beautifully than that, Psalm 35 is a message about God to us. For you and for me, in the midst of what may be in our lives, days, weeks, extended seasons of turmoil and warfare and even attack on the horizontal plane of life. And by that, I mean the social plane, the familial plane, physical plane, vocational plane. What may be an extended season of warfare and darkness and desperation on the horizontal plane of life. In the midst of that going on horizontally, when you know that God is unchanging on the vertical plane of life, that your belonging and being held by God on the vertical plane of life is unchanging, that gives you confidence then in how you pray and how you see and live in the horizontal plane of life. We see that in Psalm 35. David prays and lives like what's fixed for him in the vertical with God is fixed. And his confidence in the vertical gives him and gives the believer confidence as we live and pray in the assault on the horizontal. So we hear that confidence even just in the title of this psalm. If you have it open in front of you, the title is Great is the Lord. There's the center of gravity of this psalm. The center of gravity for David, for the believer. Great are my problems, maybe true, not to minimize them. Great are my worries, great are my very real obstacles and burdens and trials and tribulations in my life. It's not to minimize them. But what is much more true is great is the Lord. Not to minimize the problems in my life, but to magnify the greatness of the Lord over the problems of my life. He's the center of gravity for the believer. Great is the Lord. David looks to his left and his right. We'll see this, and we've heard this in this psalm. Looks to his left and right, and he sees that everything is a mess. Everything's a mess for David in this psalm, to the left and to the right. But when he looks up, he sees that God is God. And so as he prays to God in this psalm, as he communicates a message to God, a message is communicated to us about God. Let's focus on that this morning. First, here's the first message about God in this psalm. God is the primary actor in your life. Actor, not in the sense of an entertainer, but in the sense that God is the one who acts. God is the one who has the power to act. God is the one who has the sovereignty and the wisdom and the mercy to act in your life. And David prays like that right out of the gate. Verse 1, contend, O Lord, with those who contend with me. Fight against those who fight against me. I'm giving it over to you, God. God, you've got this. You have the power to do this and the wisdom to do this. Take hold of shield and buckler and rise for my help. I mean, who's contending here? Is it David? Is it David's advisors? Is David turning to the counsel of his military leaders here? No, he's talking to God. God, fight for me. God, contend for me. God, rise up for my help. You don't need to try to pretend to be strong all the time. Praise God. God's power is made perfect not in your attempt to be strong, but in your weakness. David's showing us that this morning. Find me the verse. I've said this before. I'll say it again because it's a good deal. Find me the verse in the Bible that says, God helps those who help themselves, and I'll give you $1 million. Some of you are going to start looking through your Bible right now. It's not in the Bible. God helps those who cannot help themselves. Draw the spear and javelin, verse 3, against my pursuers. Say to my soul, talk to me, God. I need to hear you, God. Turn everything else down in my life. Take hold of your sovereign remote, God, and mute all of the noise in my life, all the channels I have on in my life, all the voices that are coming at me in my life. Turn them all down, Lord. Mute them all, Lord, and say to my soul that you are my salvation. I need to hear you, God. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. That's a good prayer to pray, living as a believer under assault. God, say to my soul, get through to me. You know how to get through to me. Sometimes I don't even know how to get through to me. But God, you know how to get through to me. So say to my soul, remind me, oh God, that you are my salvation, that you are the primary actor in my life. I love how Paul reminds us in Romans 8 that the Spirit intercedes for us with groans too deep for words when we don't know how to pray. I don't know about you, most of the time I have no idea how to pray. So to know that the Spirit is interceding for us with groans too deep for words, and I think that if we could often hear the whisper of the Spirit to our souls, it would sound an awful lot like, the Lord is your salvation. The Lord is your salvation. So David prays in even just this first prayer in the psalm, between verses 4 through 8, he prays to God as if God is the one who acts, as if God is the one who can take care of the horizontal. Look at verses 4 through 8. Let them be put to shame and dishonor. Let them be turned back disappointed. Let them be like chaff before the wind, with the angel of the Lord driving them away. Let their way be dark and slippery. Verse 8, let destruction come upon him. Let the net that he hid ensnare him. Let him fall into it, to his destruction. He's not talking to himself. He's not talking to his advisors. He's not making up a scheme that he himself will execute. David is turning over the horizontal mess to God and saying, God, please fix this. Now, in verses 4 through 8, we're getting into what we call imprecatory language in the Psalms, where we're calling upon God to execute justice and vengeance and to bring destruction upon what and who assaults the believer. Is it appropriate to pray this way? Was it appropriate for David to pray this way? Is it appropriate for us to pray this way? Yes, when like this, we're not praying for personal petty revenge. We're praying for God to do what only God can do. God, your kingdom come. God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, you, not me. Lord, let me decrease in this scenario. Lord, let my hands be open now. Instead of a tight fist over all the details and people and problems and issues in my life. Lord, you, over to you, Lord, let you do this. And we see this in that repetition there in 4 through 8. Let them. God, you do this. And he does it more and more throughout the psalm. In the second prayer of this psalm, verses 17 and 19, he does it. In the third prayer, if you look at verses 22 through 27, he does it again there. Let them, let not. Verbiage of rescue me, God. Awake, rouse yourself for my vindication. Again, here's the message about God that's loud and clear here. This is good news. It ought to take all the pressure off of your shoulders. God is the primary actor in your life. That when you face troubles to your left and to your right, your hope is not in your strength. Your hope is not in your schemes. Your hope is in the fact that the Lord is your salvation. He's the primary actor in your life. He is God, you are not. He is sovereign, you are not. He is all-knowing, he is all-wise, he is good. His love endures forever. You can trust him with every detail of your life. That's the first message. And the second, we see this throughout the Psalms and throughout Psalm 35, is that God is the faithful refuge for your soul. David informs God about what's going on in David's life. Is that because God is not aware? No. Is it because God needs to be brought up to speed? No. God knows all, sees all, is fully aware of everything David's about to tell him. God knows. And God knows infinitely more than David knows. David thinks he knows. And in this psalm, David tells God the 19 things he thinks he knows. And that's great. God knows infinitely more about this situation than David knows. So why does David, why do the psalmists, why do we inform God, bring the troubles of our lives to him, if it's not to inform him? It's because where else can we go? To whom else can we turn who has such knowledge, such wisdom, such care, such love, such mercy, such wisdom, such power? And we come to him like David comes to him by faith, never afraid that he has grown weary of us. There's not a hint here in this psalm that David is afraid that God's heard this psalm before. You know, imagine if David started off on Psalm 35 and God just said, hey, David, this sounds a lot like Psalm 13, David. David, you know I'm God, right? I've heard this song before. Got anything new for me, David? I'm busy. No, not a hint. And you read the Psalms, there's basically Psalms of lament, there's Psalms of praise, there's Psalms of instruction. Repeat. Why? Because God needs to be told over and over and over again how great he is? No. It's because we need to tell him how great he is. Is it because God needs to be brought up to speed over and over and over again on the details of our lives as if he's forgotten? No. It's because we need a place to go, and we have a place to go. He is a faithful refuge for your soul. So David informs God what's going on in his life. Verse 7, without cause they hid their net for me. Without cause they dug a pit for me. God knows that. So David tells him. Verses 11 through 16, David informs God about what's going on in his life. And David's a smart guy. David has been given wisdom and insight from God. And so he's able to tell what's going on in his life. And he tells God, malicious witnesses rise up, verse 11. They ask me of things I do not know. They repay me for evil, for good. He talks about how they mock him, how they laugh at him, how they try to trap him. He talks about how he was nice to them. He was good to these people. And they're treating him like this. He's telling God what's happening in his life. And he does it again in verses 20 through 21. Over and over and over again, David comes to God confident in his standing vertically with God. He belongs to God. He's held by God. He's known by God. And so because that's fixed and unchanging, never failing, nothing can ever separate him from the love of God, because he knows that's true, he brings to God the horizontal. And he never worries that God will be tired of him. God never gets tired of you. And there may be a wound somewhere in you. Who knows where it came from? God knows where it came from. There may be a wiring in you or a disposition in you. You may have had some bad bosses in your life, some bad counselors in your life, some insensitive family members in your life. And you come to God, either you don't think he's listening, you don't think he cares, you think he's tired of you, you can see him rolling his eyes at you, judging you, blaming you, it's your fault, I've heard this, I'm busy, stop it, whatever. That's your wound talking. That's your disposition talking. That's your wiring talking, and that's okay. God talks to your wound. God talks to your disposition. God talks to your wiring, and he says, I never grow weary of you. Whatever you're dealing with to your left and to your right, whatever is coming at you, whatever assault you're facing, your sickness, your sin, your issues, bring it to me, my beloved son. Bring it to me, my beloved daughter. We heard the story from Luke 18 of the persistent widow. And she keeps asking and asking and asking. And finally, it's not a very nice man. He just kind of gives in. He's tired of her. He's tired of her. But not our God. Luke 18, verse 7 through 8. Will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. God is the faithful refuge for your soul. You can have absolute faith in that vertically, and that gives you confidence in the horizontal. Let's close as we just see this one final message about God in this psalm for the believer living under assault. That God is the ultimate hero of your story. He's the ultimate hero of your story, not you. Praise God. Praise God that I am not the hero of my story, that you are not the hero of your story. God is the ultimate hero. Hero of your story. God is working all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. God has never taken his eye off you, not even once. God has never gotten tired of you, not even once. Nothing that's ever happened to you has ever slipped past God by accident. God is working all things together for your good, for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. He's working all things together for your good and for his glory. That is a fact. And whether you see this on this side of glory, you will see it one day. And God will receive the praise from your mouth. We see this in this psalm, a pledge of future praise. You know, you watch these shows on TV where in 45 minutes, everything is solved. problem is presented in the first or second act, commercial break. They get into it by the, you know, middle, and then by the end of it, it's all fixed. It's all solved. That is not real life. We know that. That is not Christianity. Praise, gratefulness, will come in part on this earth, will come in part this side of heaven. Praise and gratefulness and infinite glory will come perfectly one day in heaven. When we gather before the throne of God with all the saints, with all those who have gone before us, with all the white-robed martyrs, and we tell our stories and we hear their stories and we see the work of God through the ages and in our lives, and we see the truth of Revelation come to life, that we've overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, then around the throne will be the perfect song of praise. Worthy is the Lamb. Right now we sing the song in part, then we sing it fully. And this psalm points us there, verses 9 and 10. Then my soul will rejoice in the Lord, exalting in his salvation. All my bones will say, O Lord, who is like you? Verse 18, I will thank you in the great congregation. In the mighty throng, I will praise you. Verse 28, then my tongue shall tell of your righteousness and of your praise all the day long. You look to the right or left right now, and you don't see that sometimes. And so if there's any simple, practical application of this psalm, then, is look up. Look up. And if you can't look up, we can look up for you. You may be in times in your life, seasons of your life, where you can't look up because what's happening around you is just so bad and just so hard, and it's just been so long. You can't look up, and so you're around people like this morning who can possibly look up for you and tell you what's really true vertically, even though you can't see it right now in the horizontal. And the best news of all is that the Holy Spirit dwells in you, believer, and is always looking up for you and pointing you to Jesus for you. And the comfort in your assault and the turmoil and devastation that we experience in this life is not that we can somehow push through it, somehow we can be strong enough for it, but that in our place, for our sake, perfectly, as if we were the only one there ever was, Jesus took this on himself for us. Jesus pushed through. Jesus endured. Jesus bore on his shoulders the full weight of all of the assault of the world and the flesh and the devil and sin and sickness and disease. All was put on him on the cross, so we can look at this psalm and see Jesus looking back at us. Jesus is looking back at you through this psalm. Verses 1 through 3 alone, he's looking back at you. Jesus contended with everything that contends against you, believer. Jesus fought against everything that fights against you. Jesus took hold of shield and buckler and rose for your help. Jesus took the spear in his side that he might draw the spear and javelin against your pursuers. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? Jesus says to your soul, verse 3, I am your salvation. So we look to the left or to the right. We don't bury our head in the sand as Christians. We're aware. And we ask as we do that, along with Romans 8:31, what shall we say to these things? What shall we say to these things? It's a good question. What we say is Romans 8:37 and on. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. How? Through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Aren't you glad that's true this morning and tomorrow and the next day and the next day and for every moment of your life and on into eternity? What can separate you from the love of God in Christ? Nothing. Who are you in Christ? You're more than a conqueror. As weak and as troubled and as forlorn and as surrounded and as assaulted as you are a conqueror in Christ. He is the primary actor in your life. He is the faithful refuge for your soul, and he's the ultimate hero of your story. Praise God. Let's pray. Who is like the Lord our God, strong to save, faithful in love. Our debt is paid, and the victory is won. The Lord is our salvation. We thank you that that's true, O God, and we ask that you, by your Spirit, would just whisper that to us, groan that within us. Surround us in that truth every moment of our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.